Keeping It Brief is a discussion show centered around current events of questionable importance. While the guys occasionally sound like they know what they're talking about, nothing they say should be considered fact. Also, the show deals with adult themes and includes adult language. If you can't handle that, well, get the fuck out.
I think I'm gonna put on Wu-Tang Enter the Seven Chambers, and I'm just gonna watch all of these to Wu-Tang. Well, you know, Derek, I just like to set myself up for success. What can I say?
They can deconstruct my porn habits all they want, but I don't know if they're gonna get too far.
What do you think Angela Merkel's porn habits are?
Optimus Prime gets infinity miles to the gallon. All right, we're going to do this, and we're going to do it fucking big. You guys ready?
I'm in.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it.
Well, what is going on, everybody? Welcome to the newest edition of Keeping It Brief. My name is Christian. I am your co-host and moderator, and I'm coming at you live from the 415. I'm joined by the other two members of the Quaint Triumvirate, as always. The first being the one and only Kevin Osman. KO, how are we living?
Living great. Living great right now. Had a fun, boozy weekend, and just getting back at it this week.
Yeah. Get it back at it. A little Monday night action in your future?
Well, I do have a beer like right now, but it's just going to be the one tonight.
It's probably responsible.
Special for the pod.
The third member of our crew, DJS, Derek Schiffenauer. How are things in your world?
Things are on the way up. I'm recovering from a three-day bender for a bachelor party in Las Vegas. So I'm on the mend there, but feeling fairly good about things.
Where'd you guys stay?
A new place for me, Alara, which was formerly the Planet Hollywood Towers, and it's now a Hilton property. It's strip adjacent. It's right off the strip, but directly next to it. So it's actually a pretty good deal and pretty good location. We enjoyed it.
Nice, man. Glad you made it back all in one piece. That is always nice.
Thanks, man.
So as always, we like to start off with what we screwed up last time before we get into screwing things up this time. Derek, do we have any mistakes the last time we discussed things?
Well, we were pretty good, Christian. We had one mistake that I was able to find that was pointed out to me by a friend of the podcast, Matt Fife. I stated that Groot from Guardians of the Galaxy, the big talking alien tree, said four words throughout the movie. He in fact said five words. He said, "I am Groot," and he said, "We are Groot." So I am Groot, we and are, a total of five words. I was off by one. Sorry, Groot, and sorry,
that's
Matt
a good find.
Yeah, that's that was a good tight find. Call right there.
Yeah. Good on
I
you,
I did
Fife.
Notice that the Guardians of the Galaxy surpassed Iron Man as the highest grossing first movie in the Marvel group thus far.
Yeah, and the highest grossing movie of 2014 as well. So definitely exceeded expectations all around, which is pretty cool to see from a little-known property like that.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Rundown?
Rundown.
Football is back, and with it, a ton of controversy. The Olive Garden. When you're here, you can eat as much as you want for a reasonable price over the course of a month. Yelp can basically do what it's been doing the whole time, but legally now. Morgan Freeman landed a plane, and Bill Murray played sax at 2 o'clock in the morning as he was getting a ride home from his taxi driver.
Chicka, chicka, yeah.
The NFL is back. And so is college football. We're 2 weeks into the NCAA season and a full 1 week into the NFL season. This seems to be an enjoyable time for most folks. There's a lot of beer drinking, a lot of pizza eating, a lot of fantasy football watching, and also the continued creeping of the contradictory just watching of football and what society is going to do with this semi-barbaric sport that we've come to know and love. Specifically today, the second part of the Ray Rice video was released. We're not going to talk about that because there are people who are much more versed in that specific incident. But I guess just really briefly to the two of you, do you think Roger Goodell should resign?
I think that I would like for I don't know if he would resign. I don't, for somebody who's had this kind of control, I wouldn't expect it to happen, but I would like to see like the owners say something or do something to kind of at least put his status as undisputed king into check a little bit.
Yeah, I would like to see some kind of safeguards moving forward. I don't know if we'll see him. I also just need to know more information about the incident in general before I make some kind of claim like that. But clearly, it's just not a good thing in general.
Yeah, I think it comes down to whether or not the video was seen by those folks mm-hmm. when they made that decision. And if they had seen that video prior to choosing that punishment, I do not believe that they should be in any position of power. And by that, I kind of mean the entire, anyone who was involved with that. It's kind of where I sit on the issue. But on a more positive note, fantasy football's back. Calvin Johnson just eviscerated my team on a Monday night. And like the rest of the country, come next week, we're going to consider these people video game characters again.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep, I'm already pretty set and prepared to go with my traditional really excited about fantasy football week one and completely over it by week two. That's how things are shaping up for me personally. So I'm just kind of ready to accept my fate in that regard. But that's all right.
Yeah, it gets a little rough the first week when your team doesn't do too well. But it's just, I mean, I realized while watching football today that there's, I had interest going on in so many different games and so many divergent rooting interests as well mm-hmm. that it makes your football watching a lot more complicated than I'd like it to be sometimes. Though fantasy football is really what entertains you outside of the time that football's going on, I guess.
How many leagues are you really guys in? I'm in three, which I think is a fairly decent number. I was in 5 1 year, and that was just conflict of interest webs all over the place. It was too much.
Oh, yeah.
But three is a pretty good medium.
I found that two is my happy place. I do two fantasy leagues and a couple pick'em mm-hmm. Leagues, and that'll usually get me. But once I got to, I did three for a couple of years, and it was just so many, everything conflicted. Yeah. And at a certain point, it was just like, I'd change two of the teams, but I forget to do the third one. And it was just a little too much for me. I think two is good to give me at least enough shot to win without overloading it.
Yeah.
I'm in three this year.
Okay.
Which is one more than I had planned to be in. My goal was to cut back to two. Then I had one pop up that couldn't really pass on.
Right.
But I too had overreached last year
uh-huh.
to the point where I wasn't as active. I wasn't as knowledgeable. It was just kind of difficult to maintain knowledge of as many players as you need to in order to work with those various pools, I think.
Yeah.
And this is something I've been successful at historically. I've probably won over $3,000 total playing fantasy football over the last 6 or 7 years. And as such, I'm not really trying to be in a situation where I don't at least have a shot to win.
Mm-hmm.
And in a couple of my long-standing leagues, I haven't been particularly competitive over the last couple of years. So my goal this year was to really focus on them and bring it all back around. Specifically by adding Josh Gordon to all my teams. Hopefully, now that we've seen this, if that's only worth two games, maybe smoking enough weed to still be able to participate in the Olympics or Major League Baseball or join the Army, maybe that shouldn't be 16 games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the craziest thing about him is just like the fact that if you averaged out his samples, they were below the limit, but one was above and one was below. And so at the extremely low level. And so it's just kind of it is a crazy kind of thing. But I mean, at the same time, it's something that the players union specifically bargained for. Like, this data stuff is obviously like very well defined about what's allowed. And so like, you know, there's hundreds and hundreds of other NFL players that haven't had this issue. So it's like at a certain point, you got to figure it out for yourself. But hopefully he gets put back in. It's the whole rules are bad. Yep. But I feel like once the rules are there, it's on you to figure it out.
For sure.
Well, come tomorrow, there's going to be a 32-player representative vote on the new drug policy. And come Wednesday, Josh Gordon is on the block. If anybody in my leagues is listening, I could really use some tight end help as a general rule. moving on from the beginning of football, I guess one last thing, Super Bowl winner prediction after week one.
Oh, gosh, I have to go with the most impressive team I saw all week was the Super Bowl champs, the Seahawks. Shh. They were the best team by far, I would say, all season, all week that I saw play. And so, I mean, they have to retain the title until somebody can knock them off or knock them down a few pegs at least.
Yeah, as a Niners fan, I'm kind of begrudgingly agreeing with you. They looked damn scary. The Niners actually looked really good that first half against the Cowboys. And then just mm-hmm. second half, it seemed like they just completely and utterly mailed it in and were just asleep on their feet.
Do you mean it's because... they were up 21-3, like 7 minutes into the game.
I feel like it was Romo looking bad much more than the Niners looking looking great, because they scored 21 points in 4 offensive plays.
That's true.
Let me tell you about this game.
Okay, please.
My family is Cowboys fans.
Yes.
My father specifically has lived in Central California for the last... about 15 years. Uh-huh. In Central California, you get 2 games every day. You get a Raiders game and you get a Niners game.
Right.
They do not show any other games while those games are on.
Mm-hmm.
So, my dad gets to watch the Cowboys when they either play the Raiders, play the Niners, or are on Sunday Night Football or Monday Night Football, which is maybe once or twice a year.
Yeah.
So, it's the first game of the season. He has both of his kids home. My brother's in town from Colorado, and we sit down to watch this football game. And legitimately, 3 offensive plays in, we fumbled the ball. They've scored a touchdown on defense. We throw a pick the next play. They score another touchdown on offense. We get the ball back. I believe we run 1 or 2 plays, throw another pick, another touchdown. And it's just the most devastating stretch of time.
Yeah, that was...
The ironic thing per our conversation is that both of my dad's sons have stock in San Francisco 49ers on their fantasy teams and have come to the realization that the Cowboys are going to be terrible. So my dad, as a diehard fan, refuses to own Niners. He absolutely refuses to own 49ers on his fantasy teams. And so... while Colin Kaepernick and Vernon Davis were connecting and destroying the fandom of my father,
sure,
I was having a small victory because I own Colin Kaepernick, and my brother was having a slightly larger victory because he owns Vernon Davis.
Yeah.
So we were trying our hardest not to get at least a little excited about the fact that at least if the Niners were going to score, it was our guys.
There you go. Classic conflict of interest. There you go.
Devastating. Absolutely devastating. I think the Seahawks are going to win the Super Bowl as well.
Yeah, I don't see how they don't. Damn, they just looked so good.
They do, but who knows? Football's a week to week sport, so they'll run into better offensive lines than the Packers had. So I'm looking forward to this season. I feel like I want to see all the people take their punches at the Seahawks.
Yeah,
sure. Speaking of taking punches, you guys ever seen an Olive Garden fight?
Mm-hmm.
No.
What is that? Is that with breadsticks?
No, I made it up. It's not a thing.
I'm envisioning American gladiators with a giant Olive Garden breadstick.
They have to like run down the things and just getting whacked with breadsticks to the dome. That's
Well, there may be a fight depending on how many of these $100 7-week pasta passes are actually put into play. So here's a thought that I had while reading about this, and we can elaborate a little bit further in a couple seconds. My thought was, what if all of these are being bought in a specific area, and there's one Olive Garden that has to handle like 500 of these never-ending pasta passes?
The Olive Garden Nexus, where all these people are just descending upon this one Olive Garden. It's going to be like... D-Day, Olive Garden style.
I can imagine. So Olive Garden giving away these unlimited pasta passes for 100 days. I can imagine some people really taking advantage of that. And they say that they're not gonna, you know, like they're not it's not supposed to be for sharing, but the guy says, oh, we're not going to like worry about sharing or anything. And like, you can take some of it home. You can take like a doggy bag home with you. So I want to see like the person that abuses this the worst by the end of it. Uh-huh. I wish there would be like, I hope some people chronicle like their use of this.
There's always
to
one.
See. I really want, I guess I want a little someone more, who goes
we need
there
to give, we should probably give our listeners a little context.
Sure.
So very specifically, Olive Garden sold 1,000 never-ending pasta passes at a cost of $100 each, with the caveat that you can use it every day for 49 days.
Mm-hmm. Mm. For their entire never-ending pasta bowl promotion, which starts on September 22nd and ends end of November, near the end of November. And yeah, good on those 1,000 people who jumped on it, because those passes sold out in 45 minutes.
45 minutes. It's like a concert.
if I lived near an Olive Garden, though, I would have tried to buy one of those. That would be anything. Anytime you don't want to deal with dinner or anything for the next 7 weeks, you can just wander over and free dinner.
Well, that'd be...
Having been a poor college kid, I've done worse than 7 weeks of Olive Garden.
Yes.
I've done 7 weeks of Top Ramen. I know that. Might as well class it up a little
bit. It's
kind of
like Olive Garden. You go chicken one night, beef the other, the pink one every now and then. Just switch it up.
Oriental, whatever the fuck that means.
On the subject of Olive Garden-esque restaurants.
Yes.
We live in San Francisco. We don't have these.
We really don't. It's a sad day.
But we all grew up in places that definitely did. Is there one of these, so we call them national chain large sit-down restaurants, that mm-hmm. strikes your guys' fancy?
So I actually have, and this, I guess, is just a product of where I grew up, but BJ's, the pizza brewery house, they got beer, they got pizza, they got these Pizookie cookie ice cream awesome creations.
Those are the bomb.
Yeah, it can be a very interesting atmosphere sometimes to be drinking in, but generally I can't fault the convenience and just like easiness of going there and getting like something satisfying.
And actually solid beer too. Like, I'm fairly impressed.
Yeah, they have a lot of options.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah. For me, I guess growing up, my place was always Chili's. That was the Lodi hometown spot to be.
How many awesome blossoms did you get?
Oh man,
at Chili's.
Awesome Blossom is
No, you're thinking of the wrong spot there, KO.
That's Outback. That's Outback Steakhouse.
Outback Steakhouse.
I thought Chili's had an awesome blossom.
But their queso, out of this world.
Oh, they might have an awesome blossom, cuz Outback has the Bloomin' Onion.
Yeah, I think Chili's
You might
the same
be right.
Product. I think we're talking about the same product. It's just the different branding names.
Yeah. Oh.
But it's just a big poof of fried onion.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's all there is.
You're for sure right. But we're getting off topic a little bit. My place as of now, it has been for the last couple of years, is Buffalo Wild Wings, which is by far the best environment to go and just watch a bunch of football, either on a Saturday or Sunday, because they have somewhere in the vicinity of 1,000 to 25,000 TVs, it seems. There's just fucking everywhere. It's beautiful. And there's so
I've never
many,
been to a Buffalo Wild Wings.
There's so many TVs per capita. When you order your drink, you can also order whatever TV you want to put on the game you want, because there's that many TVs. There's like one TV per patron.
Now that is the kind of customer service I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. Right. I've been told by a number of people that I should make a point to go to a Buffalo Wild Wings on either college or professional football game day.
Yeah.
Ooh, and it's a life-changing type experience.
When you can be in Ann Arbor, Michigan on a Michigan Saturday football game day, and you can ask them to turn on the Fresno State football game, you know you've come to the right place. Because that's the place that will cater to your demands.
Got to give the people what they want.
Yeah.
Gotta.
How about you, Christian? Do you have a fave?
I do. It's Denny's.
You said it so apprehensively.
I know, because I feel like it's the least exciting of all of them, which is really saying something when you're talking about the least exciting restaurants in the country.
Mm-hmm.
The least exciting of the least exciting is, it's kind of like the most manipulative politician. But it's so perfect. You know what you're going to get. Just get a little moons over my hammy, nice little wonderful sando, breakfast at night, burgers in the morning, milkshakes all the time. It comes fast. The coffee's hot. It's inexpensive. They're everywhere. I'm in on the Denny's.
It's like
the Denny's commercial right there.
It's like Willy Wonka's chocolate factory for stoners.
You go in, and only two of you come out. We went in with six, but we only have two. What happened? No. He got lost in the Lord of the Rings French toast.
Oh, man. That's great.
But yeah, I like that. I always also appreciate a good claw game, and I feel like the claw game to establishment ratio at the Denny's is pretty admirable.
Yeah, they probably keep that line of work fairly close to just getting by, you know? Without Denny's, I don't know where they would be.
Yeah, that's true.
They would probably be in arcades at malls around the country.
Which don't exist anymore.
Denny's is all that's left.
Yeah, Denny's is,
you know what I would do if there was a good arcade at a mall, neither of which are near me? I would give it a great Yelp review. Like, this game has three different kinds of DDR. What a great arcade.
I can't even remember the last time I've seen an arcade. I don't even know if those exist. Those exist anywhere. There used to be one when I grew up, and a nickel used to go all the time. And then they stopped charging two nickels for all the games. Kind of started defeating the purpose when it gets up to three, four nickels for one game.
Oh, I may be mistaken, but
it's the principle, Derek. It's the principle.
Sure.
Have you guys ever been to a proper penny arcade?
A proper
nickel arcades?
No, I haven't.
Well, yes. But.
Oh, these are wonderful places where they're magical. They're majestic. They have old video games like WWF. Console game, like giant games from the early 90s, or the Simpsons game, or the X-Men game, where there's four of you running around,
Turtles,
and you pay
time.
Like $10 to get in, and then the credits are 5 cents.
That's glorious. I like that. It's kind of like a Dave and Buster's, but with old school games. That's like actually my favorite bar that I've ever been to is in Portland. It's called Ground Control, and it's just got all those games, like 90s arcade games. And just a full-service bar, and every arcade cabinet has built-in beer holders. So you can just put your beer down, play your Turtles in Time or your Sunset Riders, and drink down a few beers while you play. It's glorious. I don't know
that
why...
That sounds wonderful. I've never been there.
I don't know why we don't have one in San Francisco. It seems like a slam dunk. Christian, I'm pretty sure you're trying to get a patented Christian segue in on Yelp. do you care to comment?
That was an attempt at a segue, Derek. Guilty as charged.
Sure.
And I plead the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5th.
What's up with Yelp, Christian?
Well, funny that you ask, Derek.
Uh-huh.
Yelp recently basically got permission to pull some of the bullshit that they've probably been pulling the whole time.
Yeah.
Very specifically, the ability to manipulate the ratings of various establishments based off whether or not they're willing to buy ads.
Right.
And this is something that Yelp has been accused of for many a moon. However, has vehemently denied ad hoc.
Mm-hmm.
Now, though, the court was like, yeah, you can do it if you want.
But they still say they don't want to, right? That's the
They still say they don't at all. They won't do that. But if Yelp can threaten somebody that they'll harm the review if they don't buy ads, and it's completely legal.
I kind of feel behind closed doors, this must have always been part of the plan to monetize Yelp to begin with, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's behind closed doors. I think it's a well-known industry thing that Yelp just puts a face on and denying consistently.
Yeah. I mean, they don't have to. I mean, they don't have to reveal exactly how their formula works in terms of performing the ratings. But now they pretty much have carte blanche to do whatever they feel like. I mean, they can really. It's going to be interesting to see, because at some point either Yelp, if this is kind of the end of it, or if people continue to try to like sue Yelp and their rating and their quote unquote Yelp rating goes down. That's really like where the value of the company is people like believing in the brand.
Right.
And so it's going to be, I hope Yelp can kind of, it's going to be interesting to see if they can weather the storm, or if like people keep coming after them, or if this ruling is just like, well, now that we've said it, I mean, they've gone as high as they can go, I think, in terms of court stuff. And this is like, this was a massive class action suit. So Yelp definitely came out like looking, smelling like roses.
Interesting.
Do you think they smelled like $2 sign roses or $3 sign roses?
Oh, Yelp's, I'm sure, $3 sign after today.
Is it a $3 sign rose shop that is open now, or a $3 sign rose shop that is good for groups?
Monday at 8 o'clock, I'd say it's probably not gonna be open. Oh, no. A $3 rose sign won't be open now.
I was gonna ask you guys that if you're in a brand new city, never been to, need a decent place to eat, pull up Yelp. What's kind of your combo stars to dollar signs you look for?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good question.
I like at least 3 stars.
Yeah.
I fucking hope so.
That's what I'm going for. And then a $1 to $2 signs. But like, I really would like the 4-star $2 sign is like the sweet spot. Yeah. I feel like
kind of shooting for the stars there. I'm kind of, I found my sweet spot's the 3.5-star $2 sign realm.
Mm. Yeah, I really like a good 4.5-star $2 sign with less than about 300 reviews.
Mm.
If you're above 300 reviews, then I get a little shady. I kind of like, you know, the underground stuff, because I don't want to be like everybody just yelping and going to the same shit. You know? Right. Kind of want to feel like I used my techniques a little bit.
You're so hipster, Christian.
Yeah, you know. Gotta have a cap on your Yelp reviews.
Oh, absolutely.
I will tell you this. My favorite place in Manteca, 4 stars, 38 reviews, $1 sign.
Mm-hmm.
Taqueria Manteca. Should you ever find yourself on the way to Yosemite, it is worth a stop.
Nice. Okay. That's a good tip right there.
Manteca.
A Christian starred review. And the salsa bar
is in 7 reviews. here's an actual question. How much do you think $3 signs should actually be?
$3 signs?
Like, yeah.
As far as an entree plate?
Yeah.
$24.
Yeah, isn't that like that $15 to $25 range? I don't really know how they define those. But
yeah, I usually...
It'd be like a nice meal, but yeah, a lot, but not something I would consider like... necessarily like fine dining.
Yeah,
I feel like they always shoot low. They always shoot low with what they say you can expect to pay.
For sure.
No, yeah, that makes sense.
But come here, it's $25 to $35. $60 later.
Yep.
Thanks for the time.
You never think but about that $8 or $9 microbrew you're gonna buy.
Oh, that is what it is. With a fancy cocktail with a cool name.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they get you. Yeah, I would posit that Yelp is here to stay. 5 years from now, do we still have Yelp?
Yes. I think there will be another competitor, though. It won't be just Yelp anymore.
I agree. Definitely Yelp will be here. But I feel like the market's ripe for some up-and-comer to come up. Just seems, seems like a barren
space. There's some twist on reviews we haven't thought of yet. Someone's going to come disrupt that market and really and make a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
I have no doubt about that.
I can tell you that in Portland, Yelp is not nearly as widespread. And I believe it's the Urban Spoon crowd.
Right. I forgot about that.
Interesting.
That has a bit more of a foothold. I believe Yelp is still the leader in the clubhouse, shall we say? But the Urban Spoon entity seems to maybe be a little bit more legit in the eyes of the people.
Okay. It's much more respected.
Mm-hmm.
Is Urban Spoon the one that does, like, the roulette wheel?
Oh, I don't know.
Do you know what I'm talking about? You can, like, set your kind of your money range and like the star range you want and like the general kind of genre of food, and you do like a I'm feeling lucky hit, and it gives you a roulette wheel and tells you a restaurant at random.
Mm-hmm. No, but that sounds awesome. Shit. I don't know.
Maybe I just dreamed that. There's my tech. No. There's my disrupt idea.
I've used an app. I've used something like that before. But I like to, I found I like to know, I like to get a good variety of places known beforehand. Cool. It doesn't suit my fancy anymore, but I gave it a shot.
You're too risk averse, my friend.
I am. I am. Can't be risking those dinners, man. You can't go to the wrong Indian place.
Dude. Well, that's for damn sure.
You'll pay the price.
On the subject of food, Morgan Freeman eats. Let's see what he's doing.
Speaking of price, an airplane would have paid the ultimate price if Morgan Freeman didn't step in and save the day.
Christian segue.
That was a good one.
Yeah, it was not bad.
That was real good. Okay, kudos on that one.
Morgan Freeman, he of the God on the IMDb, as well as the Lego dude God from the Lego movie, saved a plane. He was flying his own jet, so I guess he kind of was just a pilot. But it sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah, the fact that a guy like Morgan Freeman, I mean, a 75-year-old guy, will just like hop in his plane, fly off, realize something's wrong. He's like turned around and like gonna check this one out, take off and land with like a faulty plane. It's kind of intense. I always like, I really, now that I think about it, I know absolutely nothing about Morgan Freeman as a person, but I always hear all these awesome anecdotes like this, and it just makes me like him. It makes me like him even more. I hope he's a good person too, because that would be depressing if he wasn't.
What I would have really liked to see is after he landed his plane, for no reason, Harrison Ford runs up, pulls him out, says to him, "Get off my plane," gets in, and then just flies off for no reason.
That's the plot of Expendables 4, man. That's what they're going to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, I do think that would be epic.
Thank you.
I feel like that would probably result in one or two, or perhaps as many as four hip replacements. But one of my favorite parts about this story is that he says, after they took off and landed multiple times, it still didn't work. So we just got the other plane.
Just got the other plane. Oh, sure. Yeah, he tried to get it up and going like four times, I believe, per the story. You'd think after maybe try number three in your faulty airplane, you would opt for the other perfectly fine airplane you had. But he had to get that one last fourth try, just in case.
These kind of celebrity stories always remind me of...
how much like money you don't have.
Oh, well, that wasn't on the forefront of my mind, but yeah, that's there too. But those absurd, like, I always think of, like, Morgan Freeman lands plane while he's there, like, Kim Jong-il gets 17 hole-in-ones in an 18-hole golf course.
Right.
Like, I feel like they brought that to the its absurd extreme, like with that. And there's always these just random celebrity things, you know? Like Josh Shaw saves child from drowning after diving off the balcony. Almost. See? Things like almost gets there.
Yeah. One of the things that KO and I talked about on one of our brief tangents was how we think of celebrities as these different people.
Yeah.
But in reality, you know, they're actual real people.
Right.
So I wonder how much of this was perhaps the other person in the plane being like, "Morgan, we need to put the fucking plane down."
Morgan just
and
put
use
the, plane
the
down.
Other plane. And it was just 71-year-old Morgan Freeman like, "God damn it, I'm going to fly this plane." You know, but in the voice of God.
Sure.
That might be what's going on here.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean.
And then he was an hour and a half late to the movie premiere. Could you imagine being like the director or producer of this film? It's like, has anybody seen Morgan? Have we heard from Morgan?
What's our Morgan update?
Morgan is now on his fourth attempt to fly the faulty plane from his home. We have been trying to convince him to use another plane for a little while now, but he maintains that this one will work.
Is he a big enough star? Yeah, I guess he'd hold up the he'd hold up the start. They'll wait for Morgan Freeman to show up.
I feel like God's a big enough star, KO.
Well, you know, one time back in the day,
sure.
Christian, I believe, was there as well. Went to see a movie called Office Space, and this was a special showing off of Office Space where there was going to be a special viewer that was going to be with us. It was going to be the neighbor in the movie, whose name I cannot remember for the life of me. But
it's
he was going to show
the
up.
Drew Carey show.
Yeah. He's always had those random roles. But he's going to show up, answer some questions, and then we're going to watch Office Space. So a group of us, you know, we get down there and we're all excited to watch the movie. And the guy doesn't show up for a solid 30 minutes, 40 minutes. And at this point, you're just like, well, I mean, it's going to be dark. I don't really care that much if this guy's here or not while I watch this movie. Let's get this shit rolling. But they waited. They waited for him to show up in LA traffic. And about 45 minutes later.
He had to give a little talk ahead of time.
Oh.
How influential it was to work on Office Space.
I should've...
And there was this... that was a... by that time, everyone was just like ready for the movie to start.
Yeah.
And so didn't have the exactly like the excitement.
They should have just rolled it and done a Q&A at the end.
Yeah, they should have. There was he wanted to talk. I don't think that guy was trying to stick around afterward either. So he wanted to get that over with and get out.
Yeah.
But I remember he brought a very attractive date, and there were some people that like Office Space more than I think anybody should like Office Space in this world.
Yeah, that's probably
better out there.
That is true. Someone who seems to like life in general and being awesome more than anybody else in this world is the one and only Bill Murray.
True that.
And Bill Murray, Derek, told a story of absolute wonder at the official Bill Murray Day.
I love how that's a day. I think every day is Bill Murray Day in my head, but I'm glad there's an official one.
Yes. And the story that Bill Murray told took place right in our neck of the woods. The greater San Francisco Bay Area, as a matter of fact.
And what happened? Christian.
Well, Bill Murray was picked up by a taxi driver.
Uh-huh.
I presume that Bill Murray is on Lyft or Uber, for the record.
Okay.
Like, I think it's a quote unquote taxi driver.
Yeah.
He ain't doing no Bill taxi Murray. Magic.
And as Bill Murray gets to talking to his compatriot for the ride, he finds that this man is a saxophone player.
Hmm.
And Bill Murray asks the man, when do you practice your saxophone if you're driving this car all the time? The man says, it's hard. I drive 14 hours a day. And Bill Murray says, well, do you have your saxophone? And the man says, yes, it's in the trunk. So Bill Murray says, why don't you let me drive and you can practice your sax while I drive myself to my destination.
That's just the best.
Oh. And then they just go out and enjoy a night in Oakland. With Bill Murray as your driver, that wouldn't be too shabby of a day. I feel like
how awesome must that be to be the Lyft or Uber driver that pulls up and sees on their phone, oh, I'm picking up Bill. All right, that's cool. Pulls up, it's fucking Bill Murray, and you're just like, oh shit, what crazy shenanigans am I about to get into? All
right, so of any celebrities out there. Which celebrity would you want to pick up while you're Uber driving for the night?
Jennifer Lawrence.
All right.
Not Bill Murray?
Not Bill Murray.
Not Bill Murray.
James Earl Jones? Just so I can have him direct me to my location as Darth Vader?
Oh, wow, that'd be good.
Use the turn signal, Derek.
I wouldn't mind picking up Morgan Freeman and Harrison Ford from their quadruple hip replacement surgery.
They'd have to call somebody. Yeah.
Who would you be picking up, KO?
Oh, man. I'd want to pick up, like, Shaquille O'Neal or something like that.
What kind of car would you be riding in the convention?
I'd be rolling a bomb, probably some massive SUV. I don't know. I didn't really consider the size of the car when I picked the person that I'd want to hang out with. But I feel like he would be very entertaining. I feel like he'd be a very entertaining ride.
Yeah. Who's the last person you would want to see?
Celebrity?
Mm-hmm.
Gallagher.
Dude, you have to stop fucking breaking watermelons in my backseat.
Breaking watermelons for the last time.
Seriously, dude, you're going to have to pay for that. You're going to have to pay for that shit.
There is watermelon rinds everywhere.
Gallagher gets 0 stars. Gallagher gets 0 fucking stars.
Yeah. And can get picked up again.
How about you?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I can't think of any celebrity that I dislike enough that I wouldn't want to pick up, but I don't know. Wow, this is...
want to be in charge of getting Kanye anywhere.
Oh, no.
Wow, that's a good one.
I'd be like, bro, just put on the diamond wrestler's mask and shut the fuck up back there.
I feel like I would want the potential, though. Kanye would have some pretty high potential of... It'd have the chance at being a very fun ride as well. Like, you're going to be entertained regardless of what happens.
Yeah, that's true.
That is true, and it would be quite the story.
Mm-hmm.
It would be quite the story.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, I think that is it for the day. Gentlemen, anything else you wanted to share before we say our au revoirs?
No, everybody keep out there, keep doing you. Monitor your fantasy teams. Don't forget to pick do your survivor picks. Enjoy. We got the summertime coming up in San Francisco, so I'm looking forward to some nice outdoor weather and some nice fun days coming up here.
Yeah. I would also say we've been fairly sporadic in our schedule here on The Brief, but I think we all are recommitting ourselves to be a little more semi-structured in our release of our podcast. So just to those out there listening, be prepped for a more standardized schedule in the future.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, we got our 1 year anniversary of The Brief coming up here.
Do something very special for that
relatively soon. So we'll have to come up with something good.
Yeah. Basically everything that they just said. Life is feeling pretty good right now. It's nice to get into the San Francisco summer.
Yeah.
We're entering the Q4 push.
Oof. The Q4
real
push.
Close to the Q4 push right now. Uh-huh. We're almost there. And I am just looking forward to an absurd amount of official days off over the next little while here.
Mm-hmm. Hear that.
All right. Well, thank you all very much for listening. As always, thank you to Laura Peterson for recording our intro and saying the F word.
And thank you to Matt Gravish for putting together our snazzy looking logo.
And thank you to you, the customer.
Thanks, guys.